Microsoft announced Unified Support, the replacement for its long-standing Premier Support program, back in 2017. And since then, customer complaints have grown around pricing, quality, and more. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions on Microsoft. I'm the host for your series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. Today, my special guest is from US Cloud, a company that offers one of the most popular, if not the most popular, alternative to Microsoft Unified Support. Mike Jones, Vice President of Product Development for US Cloud, has been keeping tabs on Unified Support since its inception, and he's here today to talk with me all about Unified Support and some options enterprise customers have if they are not happy with it. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining with me today.
Oh, no problem, Mary Jo. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks. So US Cloud, I looked you guys up. You got your start as a Microsoft Gold partner called fpweb.net. And back then, you were one of the most, actually the biggest, I think, SharePoint cloud hosting company. These days, though, US Cloud's all about support. And Directions on Microsoft does recommend that our customers engage with you during their Unified Support Agreement negotiations, because Microsoft itself benchmarks its own offering against US Cloud. I would like you, if you don't mind, to start out by comparing the old Premier Support program to Unified Support. So what did customers actually gain, if anything, and lose when Microsoft made that switch?
Yeah, so it's important to look at the two models. So the old Premier Classic model, basically what it was is a consumption-based model. It was a needs-based model for support. So essentially what customers would do is they would go and they would analyze how many hours of support they would need in reactive support, proactive or project-based advisory services, and TAM, or what they called SDM, or service delivery management time. And essentially those three buckets would come together and they would estimate based on that year. They would have a negotiated hourly rate with Microsoft, and then they would purchase those hours throughout the year. If they ran out of hours, let's say they ran short, if you will, they would have to pay premiums or additional add-ons for adding additional hours to it. So that's the Premier model. It's a consumption-based, think of it as a needs-based support model. With a switch to Unified, essentially, Unified went to a all-encompassing, all-you-can-eat support model. So it included everything that Microsoft would consider under their support chain. So that included your base support, so reactive support, CSAM or service delivery time, advisory hours, proactive hours, proactive credits and support. All of their consulting services were all put under these banners of Unified Support. And instead of a needs-based model, it was an unlimited model that's strictly based on pricing and cost of your licensing spend. So server, cloud, user. So it took a model that was, you know, in simplicity's sake, customers that had very, I would say, experienced IT benches, and in turn, the model and made it more cost prohibitive for them to purchase support from Microsoft. Because in a lot of ways, a lot of these customers have very deep benches. They have smart people. They can resolve a majority of the issues. So a needs-based model really said, okay, we think we'll need X amount of support for the year. But in reality, what Microsoft's doing is we don't care what your need for support is. It's really based on what you're spending from a licensing perspective. A calculation goes in and X percentage of that, here's your cost for support. And it's and it's an unlimited model. So regardless if you use all the services or not, you're still paying for them.
Right. And I'm guessing you can't carry them over to the next year.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's they do multi-year and they do year by year. Most customers will do year by year, just because of the true-up costs. But yes, no carryover, no rollover in that model.
This sounds to me the same way that Microsoft, when they change licensing models, they say it's so much simpler and easier for customers. This sounds like that same kind of argument, right? Like, even though the original model was simpler, they're going to say the new model with unified support is simpler, right?
Of course.
Right.
And I mean, even unified support, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point in this discussion, unified support's gone through multiple iterations already. So, yes, they always say this is a more streamlined, a more evolved offering that we have, but in reality, it changes the model and how customers can budget and forecast for it.
Right. Okay. So I've got to ask you more about cost, because this seems to be the biggest single beef that customers have with Microsoft when they talk about unified support. And as you said, they moved from the per hour pricing now to a percentage-based model tied to customer spend. And I've seen on your website, when I was looking at US Cloud's whole pitch on this, that some customers have seen price increases of 50% up to 300%. Because of unified support. So I'm curious, is that still the case now? Even though I know Microsoft has tiered support levels inside unified support?
So it's important to know how unified's evolved. So I'll answer that kind of with a little bit of a backstory and then jump into how that spend really looks.
Okay.
So when unified support first came out, there was essentially three tier models of unified. There was core, advanced, and performance levels. Now that model basically provided customers with the ability, based on size and need for support, it gave them things like more aggressive SLAs or SLTs with Microsoft, callback targets, if you will, on different severity levels. It gave them access to more more involved consulting services and proactive services. So each model was a little bit different, and it was a tiered model where the pricing was based on which model you decided to purchase for the need of support. Well, now Microsoft has even evolved that. So the core advanced performance level, you'll still see some customers that are grandfathered into that because they had multi-year agreements. But Microsoft has shifted a few years ago to the enterprise, unified enterprise support model.
Okay.
The unified,
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. The unified enterprise support model essentially consolidated all of the previous tiers that I just talked about.
Okay.
Into a single offering. So eliminating any choice customers wanted to do if they wanted a different tiered support model. So it gave them essentially all of the comprehensive support services, including the proactive and reactive support, but it was focused on aligning how organizations purchase and use that technology.
Okay.
So pricing is based on what I would call a graduated structure. So it applies different percentages to varying thresholds of your spend across your user, server, and cloud, aka Azure, costs.
Okay.
So as your products grow, support rate obviously will adjust as well.
Okay. So they did this back in 2020, the Unified Enterprise Support. So did it change anything for customers? I'm curious, like, did it actually help alleviate any pain points or do anything positive around pricing, or the opposite?
I think where customers could previously select from different support tiers, like that core, advanced, and performance, based on their needs and desired response times for their organization, it took it and basically eliminated the flexibility. In a way, because now it's a standardized support level for all enterprises. It's a standardized SLA or what they call callback targets, standardized model as far as the services that are available to customers. And it took the pricing structure as well and graduated it into a what we call a progressive tax, where different spending thresholds are subject to different support rates.
Okay.
So it can actually result in higher support costs for a lot of the organizations compared to the previous tiered pricing structure.
Okay. So not so good news, in other words.
Not really, not for a lot. Some, it fits for some customers, but a lot of customers, it isn't. It isn't customizable enough to their needs of their organization to really fit the what Microsoft was intending to do.
Okay. All right, I'm going to pause here and take a break so that I can talk about our next in-person Directions on Microsoft Licensing and EA Negotiation Bootcamp. This will be happening April 22nd to 24th in Atlanta. This is a more than 18-hour training, and it's the perfect time for your team to solve Microsoft licensing problems in real time with your peers and the Directions on Microsoft team. Your company is probably spending millions of dollars on Microsoft licensing annually. Don't you wonder if you're overpaying? The topic of today's podcast. Do you have a good grasp of the complexities of Microsoft constantly changing licensing rules and how you could use them to cut costs? We have got proven strategies and tactics that we can share. If you want to crush your Microsoft EA negotiations, come to the Atlanta Bootcamp. Or if you cannot attend in person, you can join one of our upcoming virtual licensing trainings. In addition to boot camps, we also offer advisory services like EA negotiation support and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com so you can learn more about all of the services that we offer. Okay, back to Mike Jones with US Cloud and the wild and woolly world of Microsoft Unified Support. So far, we've been talking about the details of Microsoft's various support programs, but let's shift gears now and talk a little bit about what enterprises can do for support if they don't want to buy into Unified Support. I mean, obviously, customers can make the choice to switch to a third-party support provider like US Cloud for their support needs. But I'm curious, can enterprises buy into partially buy into Unified Support? Or do you have to get all of it? You can't just buy into it partially. How does this work?
So it really is an all or nothing style approach. Yeah. Okay. So unfortunately for customers, and we've seen this in the landscape where customers will, let's say they're really reliant upon an Azure application in the cloud that they need, you know, really, really critical support for, but all their other technologies for Microsoft they would rather have supported by anyone other than Microsoft. Mm. You can't just buy, essentially, Microsoft will tell you, you can't just buy partial support. It's an all or nothing tied into all of those services. Now, I will say that I have seen a few select customers negotiate Azure only support with Microsoft. Ooh, so little unknown factoid for some customers out there that it is a reality. And depending upon how you can negotiate, you could negotiate an Azure only support model and then use a third party or a trusted partner to support the rest of your environment. Mm, but for the most part, Microsoft will push back pretty hard and say no.
Okay. Good tip there. All right, so when I look at Unified Enterprise plans on Microsoft's website, I see you can customize from a menu of things around like assessments, 24/7 technical support, case management, mission critical services. So I'm curious, are any of these categories, quote, better than others? And in other words, are there categories you would advise customers to use or steer clear of if they can make some choices?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, from my standpoint, The customization is a loose term, and I want customers to be educated on what that really means. When you purchase Unified Enterprise, there is a base product plan included in that. Okay. So that core plan gives you reactive 24/7 support. It gives you advisories hours as needed, so how to. And then essentially what's added on top of that is add-on. It's additional cost. So proactive credits, as an example, are additional that you have to purchase through Microsoft on that support plan. Enhanced services, which is kind of a big grouping of multiple services, like enhanced designated engineering or the old DSEs, support for mission critical, engineering direct, all of those offerings are enhanced services and are add-on cost to your base unified enterprise support plan. So I like to start there and say it's not included. It's an add-on.
Okay.
But understand that you have access to those as an additional cost to your unified support plan. So when they ask, you know, what's better, what's not better, it's really dependent upon your organizational need, right? Okay. Is the cost, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is the cost justify the service that you're getting? As an example, support for mission critical. Microsoft claims that what support for mission critical will give you is on your cloud product. So it's either 365 or Azure. You can get a group of high level engineers that are dedicated from a support pool perspective, right? It's a pool of resources that you can tie into using support for mission critical, and any either 365 or Azure related issue that comes up, you will have this group that you can directly tie into and get support for.
Okay.
Now, it's debatable on whether that service actually works as intended. And I don't really want to, you know, it's not what we're doing today. It's just kind of educating customers on, hey, look out for that, because that service may or may not be a benefit to you based on your organizational need. DSEs, kind of EDEs, as they call them now, enhanced designated engineers, are kind of the same. Do you have a need in a specific technology where you need a what I would call the hit the easy button or the bat phone and get a high level consultant in that technology that's dedicated to your team. You know, those are all things you need to weigh. I wouldn't say anything is, I would steer clear of.
Okay.
It really just comes down to the need of the organization and whether those services justify the high dollar cost that would add on to your unified support bill.
Okay, that's a good frame to look at that. Yep. Okay, so these days you can't talk about Microsoft without saying the word Copilot. And so I'm curious if there are, or you think will be, any provisions in unified support for helping customers with issues around Microsoft's various Copilots. And bonus question, is there a unified support Copilot waiting in the wings? Somebody should do this, right?
I my honest vibe on that is no, I don't believe that there's a separate unified support Copilot waiting. What I would see potentially happening is there being a separate service offered on Microsoft's unified support as an add-on, or those enhanced services that we talked about specific to Copilot and development around LLMs with your AI strategy. So I could absolutely see Copilot becoming more of a subcategory, if you will, where you have to pay additional for development resources at Microsoft to help you develop your Copilot or AI strategy.
Right.
I definitely could see that coming into play. Most customers are just reacting right now to swallowing the cost of Copilot.
Right.
Because the licensing cost alone, I mean, an example, if you are a customer with an E3 license, it doubles your cost just to add on a Copilot license. It doubles. Right. So that's something customers really have to digest first is it's a very costly model. And what I see customers doing today is they're really doing more strategic evaluation around Copilot versus jumping in like everybody has done in the past because of the cost. It's cost prohibitive to do it. So customers are really planning, taking their time, saying, okay, how can we use this? How can we develop it? What can it do to change our organizational structure from a technology perspective? So I think there will be offerings that come out, but I don't believe that there will be a separate support just for Copilot and AI.
Right. I could see them, you know, kind of trying to upcharge people on preparing for Copilot, right? Like all the things you have to do security-wise and data-wise to lock your data down properly before you implement Copilot. I could see that becoming kind of like a consulting kind of engagement. But yeah, I agree with you. It's otherwise, it seems like they want Copilot to be part of everything, not just like a separate, here's also Copilot. They want it to be integrated into everything, right?
Yeah, and that's their biggest initiative right now is obviously AI and Copilot, right? I mean, you're right. You can't look around and see the word Microsoft without seeing Copilot or AI tagged behind it somewhere.
Right.
So Microsoft needs to give somewhere. And I think that's, you know, if I were talking to the powers that be at Microsoft, I would be like, look, your licensing cost is a huge burden to all organizations that want to adopt this technology. Give somewhere. And by giving somewhere, it should be support. You should you should provide a more robust support offering with no additional cost because of what you're charging on the front end for that. But again, you know, I don't work for them, so...
Well, you're giving them free advice, and it sounds like
I am. So. It's free, unsolicited advice.
Okay, back to reality now, now that we've talked about Copilot. Do you think there's anything Microsoft could do more or better around providing proactive or preemptive support? And again, I'm going to throw the AI card in here. Like, do you think AI might play a role in there or no?
I think from a reactive standpoint, AI will definitely play a huge role moving forward. And that's not just Microsoft. That's the entire partner ecosystem as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone's developing some sort of AI tool or some kind of integration with AI to help support their customers, whether that's an AI bot, chat bot at the front that's doing kind of self-service support for their customers, or it's a back-end AI tool that's helping search for technology KB articles or knowledge base articles for customers that have resolved those issues for customers in the past. AI is definitely going to play a huge role moving forward in how partners and Microsoft support their customers' environment. Now, from a proactive standpoint, since you asked around more proactive, I think what Microsoft could do for themselves around proactive support is lean on their partner channel a little bit more than they do today. And what I mean by that is when you purchase Unified and you have proactive services that are a part of that, Microsoft has teams in their MCS division, their Microsoft Consulting Services division, that are dedicated as field engineers or proactive consultants. And there's a shortage of those today that exist. So queue times, as an example, for customers that are looking to do a service with Microsoft can take up to 3 months to start and engage on some of those services. It's not feasible for some customers when they have a dire need. So I think that Microsoft could do themselves justice by turning to their partner ecosystem and saying, you guys do this day in, day out. Let's basically subcontract that out to our partners. They're the experts at doing those types of proactive engagements and let them do that on our behalf to that customer. I think that would be a big benefit and give customers access to more high-level resources in those technology areas to help them with their proactive engagements.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. So to close things out, anything else you think customers might want to know about Microsoft's possible future directions with Unified Support? Getting any like inklings about things that might be on the near-term horizon, perhaps?
I think the biggest things that you really hear today, or rumblings, I would say, in the water cooler, is is around how customers are going to purchase Unified Support moving forward.
Okay.
So there's a thing going around the partner ecosystem called Partner Broker. And that basically means that Microsoft is going to allow partners to sell Unified Support to their customers directly. Now, a lot of that's still gray and a lot of it's still muddy. It's not really vetted out fully yet. Microsoft announced it last year, and we're waiting for more details because that's kind of how they are. They announce it, and then you hear something 18 months right. later.
Yep.
I think it's a little far off in the distance, but I do think that that's going to change, and not just how customers transact. So now they're going to go through a partner to buy Unified versus going through Microsoft Direct. It's going to also change the relationship because right. on top of selling you the support contract itself, partners will be able to bundle services on top of that for value to the customer. Mm-hmm. So they own the relationship. Now they'll sell the contract for support through Microsoft, but they'll also offset it by additional services and value adds to their customers. That's going to be a game changer.
Yeah,
that'll be huge.
Sure. Yep.
If you have a relationship with a VAR or a partner and it's a trusted relationship, their capabilities are going to go through the roof. So it's going to be a good thing for customers, I think. Outside of that, I think Microsoft is going to need to evaluate their pricing model as they're driving consumption and adoption in cloud technologies. You're gouging customers with cost with the licensing and support, because support is based on the licensing spend.
Right.
So they're going to have to come up with a more digestible model, I think, for customers that isn't constantly looking at a percentile of spend upage every year. That's not mm-hmm. sustainable. It has to flatline at some point. So I think Microsoft, I believe that they'll evaluate their model at some point in the next couple of years, where it'll have more of a level off or topping off perspective, where customers will flatline with some of their cost, even though they're adopting new Microsoft technologies.
Well, I know customers are hoping you're right about that one.
Yeah, I'm sure we all are.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mike. And thanks to you and US Cloud for all the good information on what's happening with Microsoft support these days. Also, US Cloud has a lot of really good historical and up-to-date support information on their blog, which I discovered, uscloud.com/blog. Thanks again, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Jo. Pleasure to be here.
To close, I'd like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directions on Microsoft.com. In addition to the extensive reports and licensing reference materials we create for our clients, we also have a blog as well as archives of all of our podcasts available on our site for members and non-members alike. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you'd like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. And speaking of those social media platforms, give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on X and or on DirectionsOnMicrosoft.com on Blue Sky for all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.